Tonight, down to business. President Trump taking executive action on trade and on abortion as his chief spokesman meets the press for the first time since that heated statement about the inauguration crowd. And tonight, a major lawsuit accuses the president of violating the Constitution. Deadly path of destruction, wild weather all across the country, tornadoes clobber the south, and tonight, powerful storms, including a nor'easter, barreling up the coasts. Tax refund warning, a surge in scammers trying to steal your money, making off with what you're owed before you even know what happened. The time to protect yourself is now. And medical magic, the doctor waving his wand, making kids feel better and inspiring America. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. With pen to paper, President Trump sent a strong signal to America's trading partners that there will be a new playing field, making good on his promise to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement while putting U.S. businesses on notice that there will be a price to pay for moving jobs offshore. On the first business day of his presidency, Mr. Trump moved quickly to begin dismantling Obama-era policies, refocusing on the job ahead after seizing on a head-shaking distraction over the weekend. Our White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, starts us off tonight.
Hello, everybody. At the White House, a reset already after a rocky start. On this first full White House workday, President Trump, most notably backing out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a major deal that would have made it easier to trade with allies around the Pacific to counter China.
We've been talking about this for a long time. Thank you.
The move, winning praise from people like Senator Bernie Sanders and from Mark Glyptis, a labor leader in West Virginia.
I'm 100% behind Trump, Donald Trump, as far as the renegotiations of that specific treaty. That's not the only one.
An administration aide tells NBC the TPP move, fulfilling a campaign pledge, is the first step in renegotiating big trade deals, including NAFTA with Canada and Mexico.
Sorry. When might you begin to renegotiate NAFTA?
At the appropriate time.
In theory, we'll be keeping some higher wage jobs by pulling out of trade deals, but we might see the cost of goods increase.
President Trump also today implementing a hiring freeze for federal workers, except military members, and reinstating a Reagan-era policy to ban recipients of U.S. foreign aid from suggesting or providing abortions. All of it amid a flurry of photo ops from West Wing meetings with business leaders from places like Dow, Lockheed Martin, and Ford. The president promising to cut regulations and taxes.
To say that the president was engaged was an understatement.
Today's push on the policy, a stark contrast to what critics called the petty over the first 72 hours of the Trump administration, with the president harping on the size of his inaugural crowd. His press secretary today pressed about his own inaccurate claims.
Our intention is never to lie to you, John.
At points, Sean Spicer, on defense, clearly frustrated.
It's a little demoralizing to turn on the TV day after day and hear, can't do this. This guy's not going to get confirmed. No way they're going to go through.
To that point, President Trump today calling reporters back into the Roosevelt Room.
Where's Ms. Jackson?
Why? To witness praise from union leaders about his inauguration speech.
That was a great moment for working men and women.
Thank you.
You may never hear that on television, but that's only because he was positive.
The president's holding a reception here tonight for leaders of both parties, including a one-on-one with House Speaker Paul Ryan, as his cabinet comes closer to reality. CIA Chief Mike Pompeo is expected to be confirmed tonight. Rex Tillerson also just cleared his biggest Senate hurdle, looking all but certain to be installed as the next Secretary of State next week. Lester?
Hallie Jackson at the White House tonight. Thank you. In meantime, this evening, the new president is already being taken to court, being sued over his business interests. A liberal watchdog group claims President Trump is violating a constitutional ban on accepting gifts from foreign governments. We get details from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
First lawsuit of its kind against the wealthiest president in modern times over a clause in the Constitution that bans public officials from receiving any present or payment, what the framers called emolument, of any kind from any king, prince, or foreign state. A liberal ethics watchdog group says Mr. Trump is knee-deep in violations.
We've never had a president who's had such vast financial interests that are so entangled with those of foreign governments and that are as secret as Donald Trump's.
The suit lists a dozen Trump business interests worldwide. It says now violate that ban or will soon. Among them, each time a foreign diplomat pays to stay or puts on an event in the president's Washington hotel. Services granted by the government of Dubai for the Trump International Golf Club opening next month. And permits sought from China for the Trump Organization to build luxury hotels there. Mr. Trump today brushed off the lawsuit.
Without me. Totally without that.
He has said he'll give the U.S. Treasury the profits from any foreign payments at the hotel, which his lawyer says don't count anyway.
Paying for a hotel room is not a gift or a present, and it has nothing to do with an office.
Mr. Trump has said he'll have his two sons run the business, but the suit says that won't solve the problem. To win, the ethics group must also show that it's directly harmed by any constitutional violation. But legal experts say its claim of harm, that it's having to spend time and money suing Mr. Trump, isn't enough.
This is a pretty out-of-the-box idea, the notion that because they've had to work harder, that somehow they are injured enough to be able to be successful in a lawsuit on this subject.
One of the goals of the lawsuit is getting access to Mr. Trump's tax return. But even if this case doesn't get to first base, legal sources say other lawsuits are in the pipeline, perhaps even from a competing hotel. So this issue is not going away, Lester.
Pete Williams in Washington this evening. Thank you. There is dramatic and dangerous weather unfolding on both coasts tonight, potentially threatening some 58 million this evening. Deadly storms in the west and the nasty nor'easter targeting the east coast. We'll get details on both storms and Al Roker's forecast in a moment. But first to the hard-hit south, where a violent tornado outbreak has now left at least 20 people dead, most of them in Georgia. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is there.
The destruction stretches for miles from mobile home parks to two-story houses. In Georgia alone, at least 15 people are dead. Several are missing.
We were helping look for a two-year-old child that had been swept away in the tornado.
An agonizing path of devastation leading right to a driveway in Albany. This is the moment Linda Freeman first sees her childhood home in pieces, the place where the tornado took her father.
Wow.
His roof collapsed on him. Today, her world came crashing down.
Our house has a basement. And if he'd have known it was coming, I know he would have gotten that basement.
Paul Freeman was 81 years old, a retired Air Force pilot who loved to hunt. His friends called him Major.
He had a huge heart, and I'm going to really miss him.
He was among the 20 people killed across the South. 41-year-old Amanda Rowe died in Cook County, Georgia. 72-year-old Simona Cox and three others died Saturday in Mississippi. In all, 44 reports of tornado damage across six states in just 48 hours. Overnight, howling winds pounded parts of Florida, tossing boats and ripping through homes.
I mean, this whole park here was covered with nothing but pine trees. You can see what's left.
But it is Georgia that felt the brunt of this latest system, as Daugherty County Police Captain Tom Jackson showed us.
It looked like a bomb had just exploded back here.
Yeah.
An emotional battle Linda Freeman hoped she'd never have to endure. Going through her father's memories.
There's his uniform. I won't bury him in that.
There are some things that these storms could not take.
Take this.
Today, Georgia's governor placed even more counties under a state of emergency. This area barely had time to recover from another set of severe storms just 3 weeks ago. Lester.
All right. Gabe Gutierrez there for us tonight. Thank you. And the wicked weather doesn't end there. Far from it. As we said, at both ends of the country tonight, two huge storms are lashing the east and west coasts, including a nor'easter with tropical storm force winds. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Blake McCoy on New York's Long Island. Blake, good evening.
Well, Lester, the winds have really picked up here on Long Island. The rain is pelting us. This is the same storm system that caused those deadly tornadoes down south, and it's already proving deadly for this part of the country as well.
High
winds tonight battering the East Coast. A fast-moving nor'easter whipping gusts of up to 60 miles per hour, toppling streetlights in New Jersey, flinging trees into homes.
I heard the crack, and I knew something was wrong.
In Philadelphia, a 60-year-old man was killed by flying debris. Police say he was struck by a sign that flew off a car dealership. A piece of this downtown mural fell onto two parked cars. On New York's Long Island, crews spent the day shoring up sand dunes to protect against coastal flooding. The region's airports are reporting hundreds of delays and cancellations.
I'm not so optimistic that we get out today. Not at all.
The storm is impacting 23 million Americans, but unlike most January nor'easters, this one won't bring much snow. Temperatures are too warm. Instead, wind and rain, with power outages being the biggest concern. Tonight, thousands of people are already in the dark. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Long Island, New York.
I'm Miguel Almaguer in Southern California, where the strongest storm to pummel this region in years brought record rainfall, mudslides, and a flood of water rescues. Men, women, and children caught in rushing rapids. This car swept away half a mile.
It went by in probably, 30 seconds.
Here, a firefighter clutched a toddler. The two swept downstream before being plucked to safety. 3 days of relentless rain caused hills to crumble, mud to flow into homes as hundreds were ordered to evacuate. In Duarte, ground scorched by fire last summer is washing away today. A neighborhood on the edge.
We decided we wanted to stay and protect our house.
With travel treacherous, two major freeways in Southern California were flooded by 4 feet of water. At least three are dead. One woman killed in bed by a falling tree. In the Sierra Nevada, 7 feet of snow in 5 days. And now the threat of avalanches. California is on pace for the wettest year on record. Now, one of the most destructive.
After hours of steady rain this morning, the sun has finally come out here in Southern California, but the cleanup will take days, if not weeks. This is actually a road behind me, not a river. Families trapped on the other side of the street here will likely be there for another day. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer, thanks. Al Roker is tracking it all tonight. Al, a very busy night of the radar all across the country. What are you watching first?
Lester, thanks so much. Well, the remnants of this storm out west, it's really going to have a bit of a legacy as it dumps snow into the Rockies. But as we continue east, heavy snow upwards of 8 inches from Minnesota all the way into Wisconsin. Now, here in the east, we've got a big mess along the interstates as this nor'easter makes its way up the coast. The low pressure system deep enough to be a Category 1 hurricane. And look at the airport delays. Boston, nothing, but that's going to change as the night wears on. As we push in into the evening, look at these wind gusts. We're talking 35 to 45 to 55 miles per hour. But as we get into tomorrow, a little bit less, but still problems for the airports as you make your way up into Boston. This system pushes up, got a lot of heavy rain with it, 1 to 3 inches near the coast. Inland, look for a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. And look at this, by Tuesday, upwards of 8 inches from northern New England into central New York. But the good news, Lester, things calm down once we get into the middle of the week.
All right, Al Roker, thanks very much. Encouraging news this evening about a former first couple. Officials say President George H.W. Bush is being removed from the intensive care unit at a hospital in Houston where he's being treated for complications from pneumonia. His spokesman tweeted out a picture of the couple with her thanks for all the prayers and good wishes. Mrs. Bush has been discharged after her hospitalization for bronchitis. Still ahead tonight, the first day of tax season and scams targeting your refund are on the rise. Why this year you should file your taxes as early as possible, we'll explain why. Also, alarming news for women about something drastically more deadly than doctors previously thought. Believe it or not, today is the first day that Americans can file their tax returns for the tax year 2016. An important day for millions who file early in order to receive their tax refunds early. But this year, millions of refunds are being delayed as the IRS tries to crack down on scammers who steal taxpayers' identities, making off with the money you are owed. Here's the warning from NBC's Tom Costello.
It's big business stealing taxpayer identities, then applying for and stealing refunds. Scammers made off with more than $3 billion in 2014. Last year, a 400% surge in phishing and malware tax scams. In Ohio, Jim Renacci found someone had applied for a $25,000 refund in his name.
They had my Social Security number. They had my wife's Social Security number.
It happened to Lisa Letchworth in Washington State.
They had entered in deductions in order to create a substantial refund, a little over $5,000, that was being sent to a routing number and account number that I had never seen before.
The refund wired to a mysterious prepaid credit card. Aaron Stocks owns a Jackson Hewitt tax preparation franchise in Los Angeles.
I've had over 20 in my local offices. And
20 cases of people having their identity stolen?
Yes. Yes, and it's very, very common.
Now, to weed out tax fraud, the IRS is delaying refunds for 40 million Americans to make sure the refunds are legit. Most filing today won't get refunds until late February.
And these people aren't people making a lot of money. This is their biggest check. They need to pay off their credit card bills from Christmas, get the car repaired, and to wait 30 days really could hurt them.
To avoid becoming a tax fraud victim, experts advise file your taxes early before a criminal can. Avoid ever giving out your Social Security number. The IRS won't call or email asking for it. And pay for a credit monitoring service to watch for fraud. The scammer who targeted Lisa Letchworth's family still hasn't been caught. And proving anyone can be a victim.
Watch your Social Security number. That is the key.
Jim Renacci is an Ohio congressman introducing a bill to fight tax-related identity theft. Tom Costello, NBC News, Los Angeles.
We are back in a moment with rescue workers rejoicing when they find some of the smallest survivors of a deadly avalanche. There's alarming news this evening about cervical cancer. A new study finds the risk of dying from it is much higher than previously believed, especially among African-American women who are dying at a rate 77% higher than previously thought. For white women, the rate is 47% higher. An important reminder for women to get screened, cervical cancer is one of the most preventable and treatable cancers if it is caught early. Now to a breathtaking look at our planet like we've never seen before. The very first images have been sent back from NASA and NOAA's new cutting-edge weather satellite. And they're stunning, clearer, and more vivid than anything we've seen in the past. Scientists hope these higher-resolution images will lead to even more accurate forecasts. Overseas today, a ray of hope at the scene of such an awful tragedy. Italian rescue crews digging through the rubble at a resort struck by an avalanche pulled out three white sheepdog puppies alive from under all the snow after 5 days. So far, 9 people have been rescued, 6 have been killed, 23 people are still missing and feared dead. When we come back, pick a card, any card. The doctor with a few tricks up his sleeve to make his young patients smile. Finally, we want to end, as we do every Monday, with something that will inspire you. Tonight, medicine with a touch of magic. A medical student who amazes his young patients with every abracadabra, and he's teaching fellow physicians the tricks of the trade. Our Kevin Tibbles has more in our Inspiring America report.
Yeah, she's been doing really well.
Doctors and nurses are often hailed as miracle workers. But for young patients at Long Island's Stony Brook Children's Hospital, they're magicians too. Third-year med student David Elkin carries a bag of tricks along with his stethoscope, making the anxiety of being in the hospital disappear.
I think magic is a unique art form that allows you to suspend your disbelief, and it makes the impossible seem possible.
So he started Magic Aid to bring the healing powers of a smile to a sick kid's world. And presto, he's got 11-year-old Delaney Unger under his spell.
Perfect.
It's magic, but in a way it's kind of medicine too.
It's absolutely medicine. Look at her smile. I mean, that it's medicine. You're right.
And then you wave your hand around it to make it like in here.
How did you do that?
Elkin says along with boosting social skills, magic also helps develop a kid's motor skills.
Was that your card? By teaching them some magic effect and customizing magic therapy for that particular patient, it gives them an end goal, like I have to master this magic trick.
Close your fist tight. Don't let
me. He's even teaching fellow med students how to cast their own magic spells.
Try and find something in the room that kind of shows what they're interested in and try and go off that. You can't really see what happens in magic. It's all an illusion. Kids think that, you know, with medicine, They don't really know what's going on either. They feel like magic is medicine.
Abracadabra.
The magical powers of medicine and the medicinal powers of magic.
Open up.
Hand in hand. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Stony Brook, New York.
That'll do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.